Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 82 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined as always by Leonard. How are you doing today, Leonard?
Hey, I'm doing much better than I was exactly after we recorded the show last week.
Oh, bad stuff, huh?
It's been an eventful week. You know, everybody's okay. Had a little bit of an issue with the baby right after we recorded the show, actually. But everyone's good. I missed Todd at the shop because of said things, but most importantly, the baby's okay.
Hey, I'm understanding. The baby comes first. I come second, but the baby comes first.
Right. So how was your big birthday festivities last week?
Friday, went to the casino, won 2 bills.
I'm guessing that's $200?
Yeah, bills stand for hundies. Then Saturday, I was at Matt's video recording, one of his hip band that he has. And then Sunday, I spent the day just getting books together that I'm thinking of selling. So it was an exciting weekend.
You know, I saw you mention that on the Twitter machine. Mm-hmm. I'm in the midst of selling a second collection for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So once this one gets pared down, if you're in no hurry to get rid of them, I always like I enjoy going through people's collections. It's a view into, I think, a person's soul and psyche. But they gave them to me in long boxes, and I don't know if I want to go through all your Garrity's bags and drawers of comics.
No, everything's is either in long boxes or short boxes. That I'm going to sell. I'm not selling the bag of Conans. What are you, crazy? But yeah, and it's funny because you know how you have your pull sheet cut that you'll do for people?
Yeah.
See, I don't need that because I know what I like to read now. What I need is for you to tell me if I want to keep certain things or get rid of certain things.
I can tell you.
Because that's where I'm like hitting my weak spot. I'm like looking at a box going, oh, do I want to get rid of this or do I want to keep it? I have my, surefire keeps, surefire get rid ofs, but then there's a big gray area in the middle.
I'll tell you this. There's a, once I'm done with this chunk of the collection that I have here, mm-hmm. It's only 4 short boxes. It's just, I have it all cataloged and almost ready to go up online.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to figure out the optimal way to do so, I guess would be the best way to put it.
Right.
And once I do that, I think I got about 3 long boxes to get rid of my own stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's tough making decisions.
It is. But, sometimes the way I look at it is the best way I can explain it to you. Obviously, you can't read everything that you have all the time. You just can't.
True.
But you got to look at something and say, am I going to want to read this again in the future?
That's almost exactly what I do.
Right.
So.
And there's stuff that I've read like 2 or 3 or 4 times, and there's stuff that I have like that, the Joe Kelly run on Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
That is when Comixology had the sale on that past Friday. I picked it up.
Okay.
Now, that's something that I have in single issues and in trades. And my single issues are beat, beyond... Like, I'm not going to say that they're, like, tattered. They're rags. But they are read comic books. Those are books that I have read myself at least 4 or 5 times. And those are books that I've lent out to people to read at least... Like, they have been gone from my collection and returned at least... like 4 or 5 different times as well. Mm-hmm. So there are comics that have been read.
Right.
And I would never get rid of them.
Oh, I'm with you. I know what you're talking about. Like, I have my JLIs. Like, they're, like, beat to heck. But
right.
I have them in trade. I have them in hardcover. I have them almost a second set in my Kevin Maguire box. But I'm like, I can't bring myself to, they would never go. So I know
now,
exactly.
Did they do a full trade run on those?
No, they only got so far into, I think they did 4 trades of Justice League. Then they did 1 Justice League Europe one. And then I think they did a double... Like, because there was that the Teasdale Imperative crossover,
yes.
And that's the last one with which struck me as odd because that was the beginning of Adam Hughes art, and I'm like, you have more of that. You don't want to sell a book that Adam Hughes is like that name is on. Okay, I guess I'm just crazy.
They don't like money.
No, who does?
So if you give me a list of stuff, I could tell you some stuff to that I would if it was in my collection, I would get rid of it.
Okay, well, I'll have to do that.
Right. So what do we got for the show today?
We got some news today. We got how superheroes sit or stand. we also have a lot of event news coming up. And there's something going on with Superman this week, I think?
Yeah, something kind of sort of going on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We have what we read last week. We have the beginning of the post-Jeff Johns era on Green Lantern and Astro City coming back and a couple of other books.
Liked you teasing that on Twitter. Liked you teasing, hey, did I read it. What did I think? Tune into the show to find out. I like that. That made me happy.
Sometimes I'm good at teasing the shows. Otherwise, I'm a wreck. We have what we're looking forward to this week, and I'm wondering, will the streak continue?
Oh, I don't know. This one could be a layup, but this is one of those weeks where I have 15 books, and next week I have 4. So,
wow. Okay.
The chances of us lining up next week is going to be a lot easier than this week.
Right.
But, I think it's an even bet.
Okay. We'll see. We'll save that towards the end. And then we have a sketch party, obviously. And we also have the Twitter question this week, which was, what was your favorite celebrity appearance in comics? And I think this one was pretty decisive.
Yeah, this was a runaway victory. We had some really fun ones that I'd forgot about. Some of them that I didn't even know existed. And a couple of people picked mine. I was very surprised to see a couple of people pick mine.
Oh, okay. I'm interested on yours.
Yes.
Usually I'm not, but this week I am.
Oh, my goodness. Just because you like celebrities, that's why.
Yes.
There's another term for that, but we're not going to say that on the show.
Okay.
So, where do you want to begin with the news?
Let's start with whether superheroes like to sit or stand.
Oh, boy. Okay. So, it was Paul Jenkins in an interview talked about his departure from DC and Marvel, kind of citing some editorial stuff. And I was actually just texting about this with a friend of mine. And while he is a fan of Paul Jenkins, and I am too, some of his stuff, though, lately has been lacking. And I think part of it is the editorial stuff. But he had mentioned that an editor came to him and said, essentially, we're not sure you're getting the character of Batman, because it's common knowledge that Batman never sits down. So, now that, to me, is maybe the silliest thing an editor could ever say to anyone about any character, let alone Batman, let alone anyone else.
Right.
So, besides the fact that there is multiple instances of Batman sitting down, I think that speaks more so for the way editorial handles things, and the way editorial treats some writers, and then conversely, I think it shows a lack of respect from editorial to some writers, because would they say that to Scott Snyder? Would they say that to Grant Morrison? Would they say that to
Jeff Johns?
No. But they said it to Paul Jenkins, and Paul Jenkins is a relatively big name in comic books. He's not, like, the number one guy who moves books, but I think that just shows a lack of respect to say that to a creator.
No, I agree. I think there's certain things that, like, I think this is how it was said and how Paul Jenkins said it was said, you know, are here and there. But I'm like, if they came to him and said, like, you know, like, he's not in the Batcave. He said, like, oh, there's somebody, I think it was somebody was injured and he was speaking to them. And they're like, if they came to him and said, like, well, we don't think, like, you know, like, as an editor, that's your job is to tell them if you think there's something wrong with the story and say, like, well, Batman might hunch, depending on how they had him. You could say stuff like that. But I think it is disrespectful to come out and just say Batman never sits down. That's idiotic. And like, you know, but like to say, like, we think maybe he'd take a knee. Or, like, that would be a better dynamic look for the picture. Like, you know, him kneeling over a fallen victim trying to reassure them. I'm like, okay. So I really think that this is really, like, blown out of proportion on this one little thing. Now, granted, I've seen, like, all the horror stories from DC, and I get it.
But right.
I just look at this as that's the way they put it, if it was put another way, would be perfectly fine.
Right, and I understand what you're saying, but the line that really sticks to me is the fact that it's common knowledge that Batman sits down. If you went out on the street and asked 5 people, 10 people, and said, which superhero never sits down? How many of them do you think would say Batman?
All of them.
How many of them would probably just walk away from you in disgust?
A lot of them.
So, again, I'm with you of the mindset that I think a lot of it is just the way that it was handled and the way that it was presented to Paul Jenkins. But it does speak volumes, I think, for the way that some of the editorial stuff is handled.
I agree. I think it was wrong. I really do. But like I said, I just think that's like the tip of the iceberg. Like, you could probably see, like rewrites and redraws. That seems to me like more where it should be, you know, crazy. And I really don't even see how, like, as a writer, I know for some reason why I'm taking DC's editorial side. I have no idea. As a writer, you don't have to, like, he's talking about, I'm not rewriting that scene. How are you rewriting a scene where he's sitting, not, and they made him kneel or stand? That has nothing to do with... Now, if the artist gets mad because he has to redraw it, that I get. So, I don't know. To me, it's just weird. And that's all I got.
Yeah, it was just a weird story, and I wanted to bring it up just kind of... Because, you know, everyone reads stories and hears stories, whether it be first or secondhand, in regards to editorial stuff. And that one was just one of those stories that just really jumped off the page to me. Is just, like, so silly.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
So, speaking of Batman...
Yes.
There was another story that you mentioned coming up here. We're in the midst... It's a lot of DC news this week. You know, Heroes Con was this past weekend in Charlotte. There wasn't a ton of news that came out of that. No real announcements. I think everyone's kind of saving their big announcements, for San Diego. It's going to be a quiet, like, month or so.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll announce what they're going to announce at San Diego at sometime soon.
Hopefully.
Yes.
And one of the things that was announced that come November, the Batman Zero Year is going to cross over into all of the other Bat books.
Right.
And while this is, I think, a smart thing for DC to do, and we'll kind of get into some of, spending habits here with one of the other news stories, I'm sad that it's happening. I was glad that with this story coming up, it was going to kind of separate the Bat books for a while. Now, I do get a bunch of them already. This isn't going to make me pick up any of the other ones. The only thing I can think is that it's going to make the actual Year Zero story that Snyder and Capullo are going to tell in the main Bat book, it's going to water it down, in my opinion, by having it cross over with all the books in the month of November.
I'm going to go with it depends on how they crossed it over. Because I'm looking at it's Year Zero. I think it is pretty bad coming off, like, you know, what we're going to be talking about in a minute. But, like that they just have all these giant events, and I think it's a little too much. But if they do what I think I was reading they're going to do, where it's like, okay, it's Batman Year Zero, wherever, you know, how long ago it was, and where all the characters in the other books are at Year Zero, as long as they don't cross over... I would be fine. I would be like, all right, I'll read my Dick Grayson at, you know, the circus. I'll read my whatever. That these are the books that I normally get. But
right.
There is no way that you are getting me to pick all these up. I didn't pick all the Joker ones up. I picked the ones up that I normally get. And this one actually throws me off because it just seems like we just came off the Joker. I feel like the Court of Owls wasn't that long ago. We have a huge another event at DC. And now you want me to get, you know, all these Year Zeros, and then are you going to take all my $2.99 books and jack them up to $3.99 for 1 month? That's what I want to know.
Well, is Batman 21 $3.99 book? I know it has the fancy cover.
Batman, which one?
21, the beginning of Zero Year.
Yeah, it's a $3.99 issue.
Well, that's always been a $3.99.
Yeah, that's
book,
why I was
though.
Like, because it usually had the backups like the Alfred and the Gordon and stuff like that. So it's been $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
But now if they're gonna like, I get Nightwing, I'm trying to think of what else I get off the top of my head. Those are $2.99 books. Will they make them $3.99 for that 1 month? I wouldn't put it past them.
Well, here's my thing about it is. You know, a lot of these books are in the midst of a storyline, and a lot of them are having their stories broken up with the September crossover, which we're going to talk, you know, the September event, which we're going to talk about here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to pick up a book, you know, then you got to pick up your storyline in October after having a month off. And then you get another month off because you're now crossing over with this year zero year thing where you're flashing back 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of breaking up that momentum. And as I think we talked about before, how with books like Swamp Thing and Animal Man during the Snyder and Lemire runs during Rotworld going on for as long as it did hurt the momentum of those books.
Right, and not only that, remember the Rotworld, we got the first issue of Rotworld, and then they're like, we will return to Rotworld after the issue zero next month.
Right.
So literally, the second month of Rotworld was a zero. So now, obviously, these other books probably aren't going to have that long of a storyline, but I'm with you. If they don't have like a planned cut, like mm-hmm. if it's a planned cut, like the end of a storyline, it's going to flow a lot smoother, but mm-hmm. if I'm reading Nightwing and he's like, oh, on this case against the prankster, and he has the prankster, like, you know, like, has him in a death trap or whatever, and then it's like, oh, by the way, year zero next month, I'm like, no, like, don't do it that way. I know
right.
what you're saying.
And I think that's more of it as well. One, it breaks up the momentum that the other writers are trying to do. And I'm sure they're going to be happy because they're going to see a boost in sales, and that means more money just by the fact that they're crossing over with the zero-year stuff. But, you know, it messes with your story if you're in the middle of telling some sort of epic thing, and now you have a month off in September, a month off in November. Your story is just going to be this slipshod, scattershot thing that, you know, it's just going to... You know, you might get the people. People are going to jump on for the crossover with November, but they're not going to stick around for part three of a six-part storyline when you return to your regular scheduled story mm-hmm. in December.
And then on top of that, the creators are probably happy because I'm looking back at, like, those Court of Owls stories and the Batman, the Death of the Family. Now, you know, you'll get six issues of Batman, and then the seventh issue will be the Court of Owls, and it'll be like, oh, you get issues 7 and 8 of Batman, and then all the other tie-ins in a hardcover. So that's good for the creators on the smaller books, you know, because they'll get a piece, because that's going to sell, because if you want issue 7 and 8 of Batman, you're going to get that hardcover. But it's bad for people like me. Well, you know, I just want my Batman in a hardcover, and I'm thinking of, like, that's another way down the line that it's skewered, you know?
Right.
So, but anyway, they could do what they want. I'm going to pick up what I want and let the rest fall at my feet in the shop.
There you go. That's a good attitude to have. That's a good attitude to have. Now, speaking of good attitudes to have, which I don't in regards to this, maybe I do. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
So the full solicitations are out for September. We saw, for DC at least, we should have the rest of the major companies by the end of the week, by the time we record next week. And if anything interesting comes up between then, of course, we'll talk about it on the show, as we are wont to do. But as we talked about last week, is that September is the villains month for DC. A bunch of the books, the Batman books are getting, you know, each Batman book is getting 4 issues that month. Aquaman has 2. The Justice League books have 4 each. And there's a lot of books coming out. And they're all $3.99 because they all have the fancy cover. And everyone was wondering where things were going to be cut. Like, who wasn't going to get a book? Because DC is sticking so hard and fast to that, you know, we're only going to put out 52 books. Or it ends up being 56 books this month. There's a lot of books that aren't shipping, and it's difficult to tell, to be honest with you, where a lot of stuff comes in, because there's a lot of what feels to me like fill-in creative teams on some of these books just to have a book out that month.
Right, because maybe they're taking a book away from a certain set of creators, mm-hmm. so they have to, you know, fill in and do a book that they're not normally doing. Because I look at it as we're not getting an All-Star Western that month.
Well, okay, so not only are we not getting an All-Star Western.
Right.
We're not getting an Animal Man.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting a Green Team. We're not getting a Movement. We're not getting a Nightwing. We're not getting a Superman Unchained. We're not getting a Vibe, and we're not getting a Larfleeze.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, that saves me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 books that month that I'm not getting.
I totally agree, but I look at it as where you're saying you're not getting a Nightwing, we're probably getting a Bat villain on top of that for that character. Do you know what I mean? Because there's like 4...
But that's the thing. As I look at the solicitations, Kyle Higgins doesn't have a book that month.
Oh, okay. Because I was looking at, like, I was just using All-Star Western because I know the creative team. It's going to be Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray doing a Mr. Freeze story.
Right.
So that's now, what I was looking at. Like maybe some of these guys get that, but I'm with you. I crunched the numbers on the on the month before, and it's weird because I pull my books, you know, the night before. Mm-hmm. But I looked at it and I went, all right. I took the August solicits and I went, all right. These are all the books that I'm getting right now. And now, granted, that might change because I haven't tried a couple of books like Superman Batman isn't out. So will I be getting it by that time? I haven't tried all of the new Green Lantern stuff, so maybe I'll be getting it. But if I get all the books that I'm getting right now, not counting like the digital first ones because I'm probably going to get Batman. I'm just the regular DC Universe, no Vertigo. I get like 25 books. I did it. I'm dropping 10 right off the top. Like, and I'm like, some of them are iffy of the 15 that I'll be getting. I'm like, because I look like I'm not getting a Parasite book. I'm not getting this book. Like, the Lex Luthor looks interesting to me. But some of them, I'm like, unless it's like the Geoff Johns on the Aquaman books, because they're actually the creative team doing a villain for that book. It feels like it's replacing an Aquaman. Some of these where you have four Superman books, I'm like, I don't get the Superman titles that these are spinning out of, and I don't care about the creative team or the character. So it's crazy.
And because I'm not getting 9 books, and I think we talked last week how Gail Simone, the creative team for Batgirl, is getting one of the Batman Dark Knight books. It's Gail Simone writing. It's a character that's in the Batgirl book right now, so it's very clear that that's where that lines up. Mm-hmm. And like, one of the Batman and Robin tie-ins is Court of Owls, and it's written by James Tynion. So that takes the place of Talon, you know?
Right.
It's easy to see where some of these line up, but like I said before, you know, Kyle Higgins has no book in the month of September. J.H. Williams and his team that does Batwoman, they have no book in the month of September. So there's people who have been on these runs who just all of a sudden, because of this event, don't have a book this month.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some stuff that I'm going to try because I know you said that some of the creative teams aren't setting your world on fire, but some of them are interesting to me.
Right. Oh, I'm going that way too. But yeah, there's some that a lot of them don't set my world on fire, but some of them interest me. So I know what you're saying, but go ahead.
Right. I was going to say you'd mentioned about the Lex Luthor one because it's written by Charles Soule, who we'll talk about shortly. I like Lex Luthor. I'm starting to dig Charles Soule stuff. I might check that out.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on how Superman or Batman Superman is with Greg Pak, I know he's doing the Doomsday one, which is the Superman Batman one, but he's also doing a Zod story.
Mm-hmm.
If I like his Superman Batman stuff, I might pick up his Zod story.
Right. That's the same way I am. I'm like, there's some variables because I don't know what these books are going to be like till we get there. Are you going to pick up the Sinestro one?
Probably just because it's Sinestro and I like that fancy cover.
Okay. I figured as much, but yeah, I'm the same. Like me, I said, I'm picking up the Mr. Freeze one just because it's Gray and Palmiotti. I like them. Mm-hmm. If I sat down and I looked at the list more, I would be able to. So, but I'm up in the air, but I think once again, on some of these books, I've talked about it on the Batman Year Zero. I think it kind of sucks that we have to pay $3.99 and there's no option, you know, like for books that are replacing $2.99 books for one month. So,
and as I look at it here, you know, it looks like I'm going to be getting more books than I thought I was, even with the 9 gone, because not only is the Black Hand book written by Charles Soule, the aforementioned Charles Soule, the Sinestro book has art by Dale Eaglesham.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's going to be a pretty book.
Do you want me to send you the link to his art dealer later? So you can get yourself a nice Dale Eaglesham Sinestro page.
Oh boy, maybe.
Yeah, I'll do it. Don't worry, I'll be the devil on your shoulder.
All right, so we're lamenting about these books, and it's gonna wreak havoc with my pull list for the month of September. Havoc, I tell you.
Yes, but Havoc is a character at Marvel.
Oh boy,
zing!
Is he still?
Yes, he is. He's on Uncanny Avengers or something, I think.
All right, so that's enough lamenting about DC's problems. Any good stuff for DC this week coming up?
I hear there's potential for a Superman movie this weekend. That
yes.
might be pretty good.
Yes, I saw something come across my purview the other day where it said 12th commercial for Superman out today, Man of Steel out today. So I think with the 12 commercials, plus the trailers, plus all the features, if you've watched them all, you've already seen the movie.
Yep, the only thing you haven't seen is the credits.
Right.
So
So, and this is to our listeners, if you are like, if you are anything like me, be wary, because people have already seen the movie. I think they had the premiere Monday.
Yes, I heard that they had a premiere, and then there's a Wednesday premiere? Thursday premiere for Walmart people.
Right. They're doing the Thursday screening for the Walmart people, so by the time this show is in your ears, there is going to be tons and tons of reviews of Man of Steel out. I have avoided it thus far, and unfortunately I will not be able to join you for the big Thursday night screening.
Ah, you do know that there's no 10 one anymore, right?
Oh, there isn't?
No, because of the whole Walmart preview.
Oh.
They bought the rights to the 7 o'clock preview or whatever, and you have to go to Walmart to get the tickets, and they're only at certain venues, that there's no 10 o'clock show. So now we're doing the 12, which I figured there was no way that you could do, because, you know, you do everything. You're you know, Super Leonard.
Oh. No, I am going to be going to see it that Sunday, all things considered. Just once I figure out what the times are, coordinating it with the baby's nap. And I'm going to see it on Sunday. So we will talk about it next week on the show, and we will save it for the end of the show, of course, to prevent spoilers, just in case you, our listeners, do not get a chance to see it opening weekend. The one thing that I saw, another thing that people were talking about, is that it's already been greenlit for a sequel.
Which is crazy.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Because apparently, like, you know how they had that whole tracking thing with Iron Man 3, how it was going to hit X amount of dollars, you know, before the movie even came out? I'm seeing that, like, you know, Man of Steel is surpassing that, and, Warner Brothers is like, cha-ching, like, and they greenlit the sequel. I'm like, I guess I want to see how the movie is first.
Right.
So.
Now, I will conversely say this. You know, there was no talk of them greenlighting any Green Lantern sequel, you know, 2 or 3 days before that movie was released.
They should have, as they were writing, putting pencil to paper for the first script, knowing Ryan Reynolds was going to be Green Lantern. They should have greenlit, no pun intended, Green Lantern 2 right then and there.
Vomit. Terror. Horror. Awful.
But yeah, I mean, good for them, because that's the tent pole that they need. Maybe we'll get a Justice League or something out of this. I know they're going to reboot Batman. It only takes a couple of years before they reboot Batman, and we'll have the DC characters. You know, we'll be having them fight every summer against the Marvel characters.
I could say we have the Batman reboot by 2016.
That's a good guess. Mm-hmm. That's a really good guess.
Right.
I could see them announcing another character soon besides Batman too, because Batman's like, they're like, should we green light? They won't even have it. Should we green light Batman out? And on green, all the people are going to be like, yes, do it. But who's the one after that? And I think Flash would be the one to go with.
Ooh. Well, there was always that talk, you know, we mentioned on the show many, many episodes ago, the Guillermo del Toro script going around of the Justice League Dark characters.
Which I don't think people will equate in their head to superheroes.
Unless there's something in Man of Steel that does.
Uh-oh, have you heard something?
No, I haven't. I'm postulating.
Oh, what if, like, Swamp Thing showed up at the end?
That'd be crazy. You want to talk about really setting the bar high for, you know, what you think your audience knows.
Ugh. That would be cool, though. I'd go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I would go crazy, and they would have to, like, resuscitate me in the theater.
I'll tell you this. If it was a different world between now and whatever the Batman reboot is, I would go I would reboot the Green Lantern franchise with John Stewart Batman. Or John Stewart Green Lantern.
That would be an interesting movie, John Stewart Batman.
No, John Stewart Green Lantern. You know what I meant.
Right,
I had Batman
in
the
joking,
brain.
But yeah, that would be cool. I'd be fine with that. Personally, though, Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
Just do the Guy Gardner movie. And then how cool would it be to have him, you know, just being a jerk in the Justice League movie. And getting his,
well,
you know, getting his jaw smacked for it.
The reason I say if it was a different world, it's just that the Justice League Unlimited cartoon has been off regular rotation for so long, and he was the most well-known Green Lantern. At the very least, he was on TV.
I totally agree. Because I don't know how many people I heard say, why are they making Green Lantern white in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I understand why, you know, because
right.
he had so much, John Stewart had so much exposure over the years as the, you know, the Green Lantern. So I could totally see that.
So, you know what, even? How about this? As we're postulating, I was I was pitching script ideas for Avengers 2, like scenes that should be in Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because the baby likes Avengers, and there's a bunch of clips that I have queued up ready to go on, like, YouTube,
mm-hmm.
that I just pull up and watch. Oh, I think I watch these scenes out of the Avengers, about 20 minutes worth of scenes in total,
mm-hmm.
three times a day.
Well, that's good. You'll remember them.
Right. And the baby loves them. We love watching them. And there's stuff that they set up in the first Avengers after watching these scenes so much. That there has to be scenes in the Avengers 2 movies. And as I was pitching them based on, like, old comic book stories to my wife the other day, she's like, oh, she goes, I just got goosebumps. You saying that. That's, like, the coolest thing ever. I'm like, it happened in the comics. That's why it's the coolest thing ever. They know what they're doing in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just involving Thor's hammer and stuff like that.
Ah, okay.
Yes, yes, yes. You know.
Is it from a recent couple issues of the Hulk?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'll be quick. So they established that the Hulk can't pick up the hammer in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thor movie is coming out. There has to be a scene in the Thor movie, the Thor sequel, where someone tries to pick up the hammer and he can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Avengers 2, there needs to be a scene where it's like the most dire moment of the movie. Everything is horrible, and all of a sudden, Cap is able to pick up the hammer.
That would be cool.
Right, and I think that with it being built up in the Avengers first movie, the Thor sequel, and then, you know, that I think would put Cap over the edge of, like, he could stand on the level with the big guns, because... You know, in the moment of need, he was able to pick up the hammer. And they did that, like, in one of the books, like, back in, like, the early 90s or something.
Mm-hmm.
Back before everybody was picking up Thor's hammer.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's like there's a list now of Thor wannabes. Beta Ray Bill was the only one. And then after that, it was like Everest. Everybody's just walking up it after right. the first guy.
When Storm picked up Thor's hammer. What I mean?
She's worthy. She's got lightning. So I think that's how it works.
This is for the wrestling people. I remember when Thor's hammer meant something, like the Intercontinental title.
Oh.
Not just everyone held it.
Didn't Hulk Hogan have that?
Oh.
Pipe bomb.
All right, I think we talked enough about the news. Let's move this trolley along. Okay. Fantastic. So digital stuff. So there's a sale going on right now. Of Image's book, Peter Panzerfaust, which is kind of a Fablesy takeoff. It's Peter Pan, but in World War II, fighting the Nazis. It's a really cool premise. I think the sale is good until the end of the week. The first issue is on there for free. So if you're questionable about picking up 5 issues for $4, you can check out the first issue for free. And if you dig it, you can get the other ones on the super cheap.
And that's a good deal because the regular issues are crazy expensive.
Oh, yeah. They're tough to come by. And if you could find them, they're very expensive. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So good deal right there.
And there's tons of free stuff available on Comixology as well. Now, some of this stuff I know the time limit on. The usual Marvel stuff is a week. I know Bandette, as I mentioned every week, is good up until San Diego. Also, Astro City number 1, the original Astro City number 1 from 1996, is up there for free, as is the first issue of the current ongoing IDW Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles storyline is up there for free.
Cool.
So I don't know how long those are going to be up there. I don't know if the Astro City is an evergreen, like DC has a couple evergreens that they have just up there all the time is free. But the Marvel Weekly freebies... is a Red Skull miniseries, first issue, written by Greg Pak, mentioned before. Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number 5 by Peter David. And my red letter freebie pick of the week is Next Wave Agents of Hate number 1 by Warren Ellis with art by Stuart Immonen. A beautiful looking book, a fun book, a great book. The first issue is free. Check it out and you will roll with laughter.
Ah. I don't remember that one.
Really? You don't remember that one?
No.
Oh, Next Wave is so good. It's such a great book.
Never read any Next Wave.
Oh boy. That's almost as egregious as you never reading Fables.
Hey, I've read a lot of stuff, okay?
You certainly have.
Yeah.
So we got the digital stuff out of the way, and this is a perfect opportunity to bring up our great sponsor, Bake Me a Wish. Now, I know Todd went cake crazy for his birthday.
Oh, buried in it.
People commented to me about how much we love cake. And, of course, we love cake. Any good red-blooded American, or whatever country you're from, red-blooded that country that you're from,
mm-hmm.
loves cake. And if you're one of those people that love cake, Bake Me a Wish has pie, or they don't have pies, they have cookies, they have brownies, they have tons of other stuff that they can have sent anywhere, even overnight. They send stuff overseas to our troops. They have tons of great deals going on, whether it be a Father's Day cake. Get your dad a cake for Father's Day.
Dads dig cake.
That's right. You know, everyone says, like, get him this, get him that. Don't get him a tie. Don't get him a fishing lure. Don't get him something that he's not going to enjoy. Get him a cake. Fatten him up so he'll be there for you next year.
And then you get some cake, too.
That's right. You can't share a tie with your father.
No, you can't.
No. So check out our sponsor, BakeMeAWish.com. As mentioned, you just go to their site. There's no promo codes. There's no microphone to click on. There's no nothing. You go there, you buy your cake, and they know it's from us.
Mm-hmm. It's win-win.
That's right. So let's get into the books that we read from last week, my good man. Okay. Where would you like to begin?
Would you like to start with the book we teased?
I think so. Astro City number one, written by Kurt Busiek with art by Brent Anderson. And as Todd said, can you go home again? I think it had been 3 years since an issue of Astro City had been out in various miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you think of the return to these characters?
You can go home again. I had a really good time with this book. I thought it was very interesting, you know, like, because Kurt Busiek with Astro City, you know, did different takes on different styles and stuff like this. And this has, you know, I'm going to make a few enemies from our listeners. This has a Grant Morrison-y feel at times. The good Grant, not the crazy out there Grant that I don't like. And even I enjoyed it. I love the art on it. I love, like, the take that he had on the anime character. I thought was hysterical, who's on one of the covers. Just the whole idea of what that person could have been, and we never really do find out, like maybe we will down the line. Just from the beginning to end to the "you are now leaving Astro City" sign, it felt like I was reading an Astro City from back in the day, and it felt really good.
Yes, I like the interesting thing, as you had mentioned, kind of Grant Morrison-y without being Grant Morrison-y.
Yeah.
There's an interesting mystery going on with some of these characters. I think they do a very good job of introducing you to this universe that is full of superheroes, kind of putting Samaritan out there as the go-to person for this universe. And, you know, is this character who's leading us off, is he crazy? Is he really talking to us?
Mm-hmm.
Especially with what happens in the last page of the issue.
Mm-hmm. And I do like the way, you know, the warning that's coming as you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, what's going on here? And I'm just like, it's just, I really think, like, you know, Kurt Busiek, I love Kurt Busiek. At times he's let me down. But when it comes to, like, his Astro City, almost never has he done that. And I really feel that this is great if you've never read any Astro City. You know, like, I was talking with Davey, and he's like, what's Astro City? I'm like, Astro City is probably one of the best books that I've ever read that I really, you know, that we haven't talked about yet. And he's like, oh, really? I said, yeah, that first mini is perfect. You know, ongoing, it has its problems at times later on down the line that we talk about it. But the one half issue is probably one of the greatest issues I've ever read. And I just think that even knowing all that, that you can come with all the stuff that goes on in there, you come in here, there's nothing that you need explained as far as I'm concerned. Like, you don't need to know exactly who the Samaritan, you get an idea, like you said, all these characters, how the city is, and I think that's really cool.
I agree. And this has the feel of the old Astro City book. Those Dark Ages miniseries were going on. I think I might have was recommending this book to someone else, saying that a lot of what Astro City kind of builds itself on is the human characters and the way they interact with what's going on around them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in those Dark Ages miniseries, the two lead non-superpower characters, I didn't like. They weren't very likable characters.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that this character is extremely likable, but he's not hateable.
I think the whole point, and even like as the description that we're getting, is he's supposed to be perfectly average. Do you know what I mean? Because like right. he's talking about how this guy shouldn't be noticed. And I'm like, well, you know what? You know what never gets known as perfectly average. And that's exactly what I felt this guy was. And I think it helped the story along. Like, that's what this character wanted to have this person involved with all this. And I was like, that really works for me. I have no problem with it. And Brett Anderson stuff looks really good.
Yes. And, obviously with him just being an ordinary person, well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. You know, maybe right. there is something more to him that we don't know that maybe he doesn't even know yet.
Exactly.
And then there's stuff in there, of course, with his children as well, which I think is going to maybe pay off into something down the line as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Astro City number one, a good return to a great book.
Yes. Totally agree.
Yes. So let's move on with what I think would have probably been our number two pick from last week, which would have been Green Lantern number 21.
Yes.
The Geoff Johns era is over. The Robert Venditti era begins with art by Billy Tan. And this, this is another one. I think this is a good jumping on point for the book.
I agree. You also get a free Green Lantern ring if you buy the issue.
Yes.
But I'm with you. I like this issue. I like all the Green Lantern stuff. Full disclosure, I thought the Hal Carroll stuff was a bit clunky. I think that was something they needed to do to establish where their characters are going and what's going on. But after that, I thought they did some really cool stuff with the Green Lanterns and some new and interesting ideas. I like the art. I'm going to keep going on this. I enjoyed this issue.
I'll say this. I felt that the Carol stuff was more or less a way just to write her out of the storylines.
That's what I mean by having them go their separate ways, but yes.
Right. But it was just like, we got to figure out a way to get her out of here. Like, we just need to get rid of her.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if she's going to one of the other books. I don't know yet, but I don't think so.
Right. I think it's just a way to kind of, like, remove her from the table.
Yep. But what did you think of it otherwise?
I thought it was good. It felt a little light. But I felt like a good introductory issue if for some reason this is the first Green Lantern book that you're going to read, and if this is not the first Green Lantern book that you're going to read, if it's the, however many issues have been since Geoff Johns began to now, with miniseries and Rage of the Red Lantern, specials and everything else in between, that this feels like, hey, we're still going to honor everything that happened before, but you need to understand, we got to move forward.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I'm fine with that, because Geoff Johns is going to be big shoes to fill. And I'm, more than willing to give this book a chance.
Right. And Geoff Johns made me love the Green Lantern and the Green Lantern mythos. And, that's why the terrible movie being so terrible hurt so much.
Mm-hmm.
Is because Geoff Johns made me love Green Lantern. And it's not going to be easy for me to give him up, and it would have been the worst creative team writing the worst story to make me give up this book.
Now, that brings up an interesting question to me, not that, but was Geoff Johns your first foray into Green Lantern?
Yes.
You weren't a Kyle guy before that or anything?
No.
You weren't reading? Okay.
No.
Because it was funny, because I was Hal, Kyle, Hal again. That's why. So I was just wondering how far back you went.
No, my Green Lantern was the Guy Gardner stuff in Justice League International.
Wow. Okay, so you weren't picking up any GL back then?
Nope.
Okay, just curious. That's interesting. But
so did you enjoy it as well? Yes?
Yes. I'm going to keep going. I like it. I didn't think it was perfect. Like I said, it had those moments with Hal and Carol. But the Green Lantern stuff, I loved. I thought it was fun and interesting. And the whole thing with, the power battery, I want to see where that goes. And I'm in for a while, at least.
Yeah,
unless it gets terrible, but I doubt it.
Right. I have faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, continuing on with books that are very good, maybe under the radar a bit, looking at the sales. Mentioned this artist before, but Iron Man number 11, written by Kieran Gillen, with art by Dale Eaglesham. Cover by him as well, maybe? No, cover by Greg Land.
Yep.
This is the continuation of the secret origin of Tony Stark. kind of some retconning stuff with that alien that was debuted during the God Killer story arc, that 451, I think is his name.
Mm-hmm. His number.
Yes, well, his number, his name.
Yeah.
So this is just more of what happened in regards to his assistance in helping Tony's parents conceive, helping Tony be born, why he assisted them, and I guess the price that was paid to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like this book.
I do too. I like it and don't like it all in the same point.
Oh.
But here's the thing. Like, what 451 is saying he did to make, you know, to so he could get to this part of the story and get Tony to help him. I don't like the idea of like him, you know, interfering in young Tony's life, if you know what I mean. But I don't believe him. So right, I think it's okay. You know what I mean?
And like that's my whole thing as well, not to interrupt you.
Sorry.
I don't believe him.
Exactly. So I don't, not that I don't like the story. It's hard to explain. I don't like what he's saying that he did. I think it's like, you know, when they do retcons and stuff like that. But it doesn't bother me because I think he's lying to just get Tony to do what he says. And it's, you know, for a guy whose job it is to record and do stuff, you know what? He doesn't have Photoshop or, you know, Adobe, you know, like he can't do weird things, you know, with faking stuff. So I'm totally cool with it. And in the end, if it does prove true to my whole line, he was lying the whole time. I'm good with it.
Right. And that's, you know, what you're saying is he's lying to Tony to get Tony to do what he wants him to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Tony's that dumb. I think maybe Tony's playing along.
I do too, because he can't do anything right now.
Right.
So he has no choice, and he also wants to seek revenge for everything that 451 has done. So, like I said, I'm really enjoying this. I know it sounds weird that when I say I like the story and hate the story at the same time, but it's one of those books that I look forward to each time it comes out, and it's just totally locked onto from here on out.
It's a very good story. It's a very interesting story. It's also a very ambiguous story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's bits of truth in there in what 451 is telling him.
Right.
But where the truth is and the lie begins are two completely different things. And I wonder if we'll ever know. I wonder if this will be one of those things that if Gillen stays in the book for a while, that it'll just be like the underlying thread.
Right. And then on top of that, we don't even know what he wants Tony for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not even at that yet. Like Tony wants to know, like, yeah, you know, whether you're lying to me or not, you're up to something. And what are you up to? And I'm like, so once we get past this, we have a whole nother storyline that I'm cool with. So,
right.
Iron Man is pretty good right now.
Yes, it is very good. And this is another book that you should definitely be checking out.
Mm-hmm.
So just continuing on with the last book that we both read together would be Swamp Thing number 21 with art by Jesus Saez and written by Charles Soule, who had taken over the book from Scott Snyder. We had mentioned earlier taking over a book from the big guns, you know, whether it be a Jeff Johns or a Scott Snyder these days. I pity the person who has to take over Batman when Scott Snyder leaves, if and when that day comes.
Scott Lobdell.
Oh my goodness. Tom DeFalco.
Yep.
So, this is a continuation of a story. This is kind of separate from what was going on in Scott Snyder's run, picking up the pieces from when Soule picked up the book. And not only is this a really good-looking book, I really like this book a lot.
Oh, it's a beautiful-looking book. This is, I think, honestly, like we talked about the art on Swamp Thing, this is the best it's looked. And I like this Swamp Thing. You know, it looks more like the classic Swamp Thing that I'm more into. And the story is amazing. This new character that shows up is awesome. I like the whole deal, like, that we seem to understand, but there's, like, obviously more behind it. And then, like, when Swamp Thing goes to, check her story, and we see that, like, cool Robin Hood-looking Swamp Thing.
Yes.
And just everything about it, I'm like, this is really cool. And, you know, the stuff that the Robin Hood Swamp Thing tells him, like, you know, my life is my life and your life is your life. It's up to you what you want to do. And I'm like, this is really good. I think this is way better than, you know, people have any idea. And I know, I think we've done Swamp Thing every time it's come out the past, you know, the issues, and it's just getting better and better. And I just want to push it because I don't want to see this book go by the wayside just because Scott Snyder left when it's this good, amazing.
It is really good. It's kind of a closer tone to some of the Vertigo-y stuff. I don't want to say, like, any of the Alan Moore stuff, but any of the other Vertigo Swamp Thing stuff.
Yep.
Even though the first couple issues had Superman and, you know, Scarecrow and stuff in them. And I think with the Villains Month, Arcane is coming back, all that sort of jazz. But Arcane's always been around. This is a really good book. Charles Soule is a really good writer. And based on the strength of his book here, he is going to be one of those guys that I'm going to check out stuff that he does elsewhere. I mentioned before, he has the Lex Luthor one-shot that he's doing with the Villains Month.
Mm-hmm.
And in August, he takes over Thunderbolts at Marvel.
Yep.
And the Thunderbolts team really does almost nothing for me. The current Thunderbolts team of, like, Elektra, the Punisher, Red Hulk, you know, people like that. But the strength of Charles Soule's writing on Swamp Thing is going to get me to check out Thunderbolts.
Yep. I would definitely give Thunderbolts a try now, just on his name alone. And the thing you're saying, that it feels, you know, more Vertigo-y, obviously not Alan Moore. I'm never going to compare anybody to Alan Moore. But you know what it is about this book? It's finally, it seems like it's its own thing. Do you know?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, before it was like, okay, we started out, we tied in with Animal Man, the Rot, this and that. This book, as of this issue, has nothing to do with anything that's going on in the DC universe, and that's a good thing. And that's what I think is, there's a strong point for Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing shouldn't tie too tightly into, you know, the DC universe, and this feels perfect for what they're doing.
Yes. So, I think there's only been, what, this is like the third issue on his run?
Yes.
So, go to your store, pick these up. You know, you're not going to get caught up on the Scott Snyder stuff. You want to get the Scott Snyder stuff. It's really good. But definitely check out the Charles Soule stuff.
You know what? I'm reading this issue. You pick up the two if you want. I honestly think you could start with 21.
Really?
I really do. I just think it's him going back to the swamp and explaining his deal, and you're good to go. But by 19 and 22, if you like.
Mm-hmm. So, just to get the feel for the writer.
Yeah.
But. So there was one other book that you wanted to mention. And that was a book I did not read, but this is another one of these things where we're trying different things, I guess.
Right.
Based on writers that we're getting turned on to, and it's Ultimate Comics, The Ultimates, number 25, Ultimates Disassembled.
Yes.
Written by Joshua Hale Fialkoff, and I heard his name pronounced elsewhere by someone who was interviewing him, and we are pronouncing it wrong.
We are pronouncing it wrong?
Yes, I don't know the correct way, though, but I just know that we're pronouncing it wrong.
Okay, we'll get on that.
So, have you been reading The Ultimates, or did you just pick this up because Fialkoff was writing it?
Picked it up because he was writing it. I haven't read Ultimates since, I want to say, I've read the first two, the Brian Hitch, you know, the two 12-parters, and then there was like a Captain America versus Red Skull one. And then there was a mini, I think, with Jeff Loeb that I didn't read. And then the ongoing that is this I haven't read. So I haven't read it in, like, many years. But I actually enjoyed this. I was a little lost because the Ultimate Universe, the Avengers characters are different. And some of the other characters are different from, very different from the regular Marvel Universe. This seems to be about somebody's trying to gather up the Infinity Gems to make the Infinity Gauntlet, and how the Infinity Gems are in this universe are different from the ones in there. And they actually explain it, and I think it's kind of cool. But the characters who are trying to put the gems together kind of shocked me, because I didn't know that, you know, they were evil in this universe. And it's just kind of cool to come in here and, you know, I don't understand anything, but he didn't write it, so it was so tough that I was lost, but I want to know more, so I'm willing to, you know, to read. But I enjoyed the issue thoroughly, if that makes any sense.
It does. So would you recommend this to someone who hasn't been reading the Ultimate books like yourself?
I would, but stipulating that it is going to be a bit confusing because the Ultimate Universe is so different. You're just going to have to be like, why does Tony have this? And, you know, why is this character evil? And I'm hoping he'll explain more, but a lot of action happens in the first issue, so we're not getting, like, total explanations on everything. And hopefully, he'll get us up to speed.
All right, so that's a lot of stuff that we read this past week.
Yep, trying new stuff, pushing old stuff.
Yes, indeed. So in talking about stuff that we've been trying, stuff that we've been reading, Todd, I'm going to leave it. You know what? I'm going to go first. I always make you go first.
Because you think I'm going to pick just to keep the streak going. You know, trust me. That's why.
No, not that at all. Because you could just tell me what it is, you know, what book you're looking forward to, and I can just lie and say, oh, that's the book I'm looking forward to, too.
True.
So the book I'm looking forward to this week, and it's a big week for me, and there's tons and tons of good stuff coming out. This one is one that I've been waiting on for a while. It's a brand new book coming out, and it would be Superman Unchained by Scott Snyder with art by Jim Lee. I like Superman, but Superman has not been appealing to me in quite some time. I tried the Grant Morrison stuff in the New 52, and I'm the Grant Morrison fan of the podcast. But when they were having some fill-in issues, and I think it was around issue 3 or 4, where they're like, to be continued in issue 7. And I'm just like, well, I can't wait around for that. I don't know what this fill-in nonsense is going to be. And I dropped the book, and I didn't look back. And, you know, I see the creative teams, and I see some of the stuff going on with the Superman stuff, and it's just not appealing to me, but this appeals to me. Big action, Scott Snyder, Jim Lee, Superman, coming out the same week as the movie. I'm excited.
Yes. It's a good book. The streak continues, Leonard.
Oh.
I'm the same way, other than trying, because I don't know if you know, I'm not the Grant Morrison fan of the show.
No.
I tried action, and I got to whatever issue you got to, and it would just wasn't even the to be continued part. It was just, I was like, this isn't Superman to me. And I got out the regular Superman title. It just seemed to have no direction because the creative door was just, hey, 3 issues and gone, 3 issues and gone. And, like, you know, the whole, you know, fighting with editorial. So I didn't want to read Superman. I've read Scott Snyder write Superman in, like, Swamp Thing and I think something else. Can't remember. That was Soleil and Swamp Thing doing him too. But in the little that he seemed to have a grasp on it. And big action book. I'm the same thing. Everything. Plus, you get a poster. See, so it's win. You know, right there.
Scott Snyder, Jim Lee, Superman Unchained. Definitely check it out. And there's going to be tons and tons of Superman stuff going on over the next several days after the show drops. I know Comixology is going to be having a big sale. There's going to be a bunch of free books available, Superman-wise, available through Comixology. I know there's a bunch of, like, local promotion that they're doing, and I think if you go to Sears, you can get a free issue of something.
You get a Superman drill from Craftsman.
Something like that. You get a Superman washer and dryer from Kenmore.
You get a blowtorch, so it's like heat vision. It just comes out of the Superman's eyes.
So, yeah, there is a ton of stuff, and we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff next week. Zero Year starts this week. Walking Dead comes out this week. It's another huge, huge week. Thor comes out this week. But the one, you know, that we can kind of hang our hat on and say definitely pick up is Superman Unchained. And actually, the discussion about all the Superman stuff is where the episode title came from.
Ah, okay.
usually the episode titles, as you can see there as you're listening to the show here on iTunes, and leave us a review on iTunes. It's been a while since we've had a review on iTunes, almost 2 months. Too long for a review on iTunes.
Far too long.
And this is in the back and forths between Todd and I, and usually the episode titles is something stupid that I say or Todd says during the course of the show. But as you see there, this is one that it wrote itself even before we began taping.
Yes, it did.
So continuing on with the end of the show here, of course, we have to mention Sketch Party Saturday. We had some good submissions there. Josh's Adam West Batman-looking thing from Kevin Maguire. And listen to me, looking thing. It looks like Adam West Batman by Kevin Maguire. It's really cool.
Yes, it is. It's his new Copic marker style.
Mmm.
So.
Now, we had discussions, well, I think not on the show, but elsewhere, when certain artists change their style. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this one works.
It does look nice. I've seen some early ones that didn't look nice. He's getting better.
Mm-hmm. So. Like, if Stuart Immonen, the aforementioned Stuart Immonen with that Next Wave, his art style has changed so much. If you look at the stuff he was doing on Superman back in the 90s,
yeah,
and then compare it to what he's doing, you know, what he did on that Next Wave title some 7-8 years ago, and then what he's doing now on whatever he's doing. I think he did, like, Fear Itself, and then he was doing some of the Ultimate Spider-Man stuff recently. He is someone who is constantly changing his art style.
Mm-hmm.
You can still see his original art from back in the 90s in there, but he's improving. Mm-hmm. We lamented on the show, or at least in person, when Scott Collins changed his coloring style.
Yes.
And how much I hated it.
Yes, I know. You get worked up.
I do get worked up, but he's back. The more recent stuff that he's done is back to the old coloring style.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So some of the other ones that we got, of course, Rick Williams submitted that Joker by Enrique Savoy Jr. And that looks like a cool, like, watercolory Joker thing. That's,
yeah,
really cool.
Yeah, I don't know what it is exactly, but it does look like watercolors.
And then The Fool That I Am, when Mr. Senior submitted his weekly sketch that he does, and he had said The Goon, and even though he had mentioned in regards to what it was, I was almost expecting it to be the Dark Horse Eric Powell The Goon.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have known better that it was The Goon, the hockey-playing pro wrestler from the 90s.
See, I didn't know who it was. I just knew that he was doing a goon,
yes,
for the Stanley Cup, so that's what they call, you know, rough guys. So I thought he was just saying, oh, a goon on any team, but I did not know there was a wrestler. If I had looked it up, maybe Wikipedia would have had it, but I don't know.
Yes. Bill Irwin, Wild Bill Irwin, for the bulk of his career was he was a cowboy, he was a biker, everything like that. And then toward the twilight of his career, he got a short stint in the WWF as a hockey-playing wrestler, and his boots were made up to look like skates.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty sweet.
I don't know about that. So, Todd, of course, thanks to everyone for contributing a sketch. Todd, your sketch is a, as you said, a quickie by Keith Giffen of Ambush Bug. And when it comes to Keith Giffen and Ambush Bug, quickie is the way I would describe it.
Yes. It was one of those that he was at the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con. And I was going to get, at the time, Dave bought me, well, had made a bound Justice League International book. You know,
yes,
like they buy them. So this was the first show that Keith, JM, and Kevin were all at. So I was taking it to get it signed by all of them. And so he was at the DC booth, and I came over, and I was like, oh, like, I got this. He's like, oh, they're making these? I'm like, no, they have a company that binds your comics. And my friend, you know, explained, gave it to me, you know, because he knows I love your stuff. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll sign it, no problem. And I was like, oh, could I get, you know, a sketch off? And he's like, I only do quick sketches, and I only do Ambush Bug. And I went, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. That's fine. He's like, oh, you love Ambush? I'm like, yes. I just slid over. He's like, oh, well, here you go. And we talked a little bit about Ambush Bug, and then, you know, off I went. Because people were lining up behind me. But when he said, all I do is Ambush Bug, I was like, that's what I was going for. Not a problem. Mm-mm. We'll take that.
No, I want an intricate Lobo, and I demand nothing more. I demand nothing less than an intricate Lobo.
I want the character Vexed, who's went on far too long in comics.
Oh, boy.
Let's see what he says.
But
he was in good spirits.
This was not grumpy Keith, I guess.
No, he was in good spirits. This was right after, I think, he was coming off Annihilation.
Oh, okay.
So he was riding high, baby.
Yeah, then he got the rug pull. I wonder if there's a story there, because he was doing all those early Annihilation stuff, and then Abnett and Lanning came in and took over.
Well, he went back over to DC, and he did, I forget what he did. Oh, he did, he went there, and he was going to do the same thing with the space characters, but with the mystical characters, and he did Reign in Hell, which was the same as... No, it wasn't.
Well, he was also doing kind of like fill-in stuff and kind of... not editorial stuff, but he was involved in the 52 Weekly series as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was doing good at that time, so he was happy.
Yeah, I like a happy Keith Giffen.
Me too. Grumpy Keith scares me.
So if you have a cool sketch that you've gotten, if you've gone to a convention recently, I know our non-Twitter listener, as I look over my list of things here, Kurt Cooney, said that he was at Heroes Con this week but has not gotten a chance to scan any of his sketches. I look forward to seeing them, and I will post them off to folks, direct them your way. You can either email them to me at lfchikarason, that's lfchikarason, or you could just tweet them to us at Weekly Long Box, throw the hashtag sketch party in there, and I will dig through them and put them up here with the show notes. And you can also get in touch with Todd, if you want that more personal touch, of course, at his Twitter, which is Roker the Joker, R-O-W-K-E-R, the Joker. And my aforementioned email address is the same as my Twitter account, and you could follow me on there. I try to keep it nice, you know.
Yeah, keep it clean.
I try my best, but sometimes some filth slips out, and for that, you know, you do what you got to do.
Yep.
But, of course, the main reason to follow any of us on Twitter, especially the show, would be our weekly Twitter question. And last week's Twitter question was, your favorite celebrity cameo in comics? And we had a lot of interesting ones. I apologize to our listener, Tom Gerke, because I'd used Aerosmith and Shadow Man as my example. And that was his choice right off the bat. John Seiler, another longtime listener, mentioned Childish Gambino in Lil Depressed Boy. Now, I know Childish Gambino is Donald Glover's rap hip-hop side project. I'm neither hip nor with it.
I think you're hip.
And I don't read Little Depressed Boy either, so I'm taking your word for that.
I don't read it either, so I have to do it too.
Another, at least, new contributor to the show. His Twitter name, his Twitter name is BD, 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 BD. That's just BD. The letter B is in boy, D is in David. Four times in a row. Mentioned Ira Glass of NPR fame in the Nation X comic. I'll let that one go as well, because I know who Ira Glass is.
Mm-hmm.
We had some other good ones. Robot Hammer, another longtime listener, mentioned Don Rickles in the old Jimmy Olsen comic, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen.
Don Rickles, funny man.
Another funny man, Zeus Ramos, another longtime listener, mentioned Bill Hicks in Preacher.
I forgot about that one until he mentioned it.
No, now see, that's one that I remember very vividly. That's like, you know, such a powerful scene in a powerful comic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? One that boiled my blood was a listener, Quinn the Eskimo, mentioned Uri Geller in Daredevil back in, like, the 130s. Uri Geller, arch nemesis of the Amazing Randy. For shame, Uri Geller, that hoax. That charlatan.
Wait a minute, Daredevil what number?
135.
We're only at 20-some.
It's from the alternate timeline stuff.
Ah, gotcha. It's like that whole Star Trek thing, movies?
Yes, yes.
Gotcha.
We had a bunch of people mention Obama, our current president, appearing not only in Amazing Spider-Man, but also in Archie Comics and Savage Dragon.
Mm.
He gets around.
He does.
And Will Kinchlia and Jeanette Frost Ramos, Hamster Gal on Twitter, both mentioned Grant Morrison in different books. Will mentioned Grant Morrison in Suicide Squad, and Jeanette mentioned Grant Morrison Animal Man. I'd say Grant Morrison counts as a celebrity, so sure, why not?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue. I've made enough enemies on this show, probably.
There you go. So the far and away winner amongst our listeners was the great Muhammad Ali versus Superman comic book. And someone, I think Mr. Senior mentioned in his mention of this book, said that Superman even put Muhammad Ali over.
I even know what that means.
Right, and there's a great story. If I haven't told it to you, I'll tell you at the shop when I see you later today, in regards to why Jake the Snake Roberts is better than Superman.
Okay.
Yep.
God, I hope nothing keeps you away from the shop later today.
It's a great story. It's a great old-timey wrestling story.
Okay.
So, my choice was actually chosen by a couple of our listeners. Kevin Hellions, Team Hellions on Twitter. Our good buddy Josh mentioned this as his second choice because I think his first choice was a lie. Stiff Peg Pete, which is a great Twitter name. They all mentioned what my pick was right off the bat. It's just one of those striking 80s covers that when you see it, it just screams 80s comics to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Avengers number 239, where the Avengers cross over with Late Night with David Letterman.
Wow. The yes. Late Night Thrill Cam with the Avengers.
Yes. So that is my I'm a Letterman fan from way back in the day. I don't get a chance to watch late night TV, but in my youth and in my high school days, I watched Letterman every night. And, you know, Friday nights I would, you know, if it was a new episode of Letterman, I was staying home.
I was with you. I totally, you know, was a big Letterman fan, and I remember that issue. So that's a good one.
So who is your pick for celebrity appearance in comics?
Well, I'm going to have to go with a certain rock and roller that I know personally.
Oh.
Alice Cooper, when he had both, you know, his, you know, Last Temptation comic that came out with the book. But I remember Marvel, I want to say if it's Marvel Premiere 50 was him, and it was around the time his From the Inside album came out, which was where he was, you know, in an insane asylum because he was trying to recover from alcoholism, and he met all these people in the insane asylum, and he, you know, wrote songs about them, whatever. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But this comic came out at the same time as the album, and it was Alice Cooper going to the hospital, and something was wrong, and he ended up, you know, there was a crazy guy who was like a psycho named Alex Cooper who was going to the insane asylum, and they got a wacky mix-up, and he had to go to the insane asylum in place of Alex Cooper with his snake Veronica. It was a good time. It was a good time. That's my favorite celebrity appearance in comics.
Are you sure that wasn't an episode of Scooby-Doo Mysteries?
No, I'll bring the issue in. I have it signed by the good man. So
it was, you said Marvel Premiere 50?
Yes.
That sounds like the most ridiculous premise for a comic book I've ever heard in my life.
I don't know what you're talking about. That seems legitimate. Oh, I don't know where you would think that couldn't happen, that he would mix up. And I think at the end they elect Alex Cooper president. I'm not sure. There's something weird there.
Do you have that? You have to bring that to the shop today.
Okay, I'll have to try and find it. Maybe I'll what did they have that stash? My comics. I'll be able to find it now.
No, you won't.
Did you look it up? Marvel Premiere 50.
No, I will though.
Look it up because there's a big picture Alice Cooper on the cover.
I didn't want to type with my sausage fingers here on the.
I love
show.
When you type with your sausage fingers. But Marvel while you're looking,
Premiere 50. Okay, it is Alice Cooper, 1972, man, you're old.
Well, I was born a year later, but I have the issue. You didn't say you had to be born when the issue came out, right? Is that okay? Well, how many of the people who picked Muhammad Ali were born when that issue came out?
All of them.
Yeah, okay.
So it was written by, you know, it was assist with Alice Cooper, of course, but Ed Hannigan,
mm-hmm.
and Jim Salicrup mm-hmm. are the credited writers of that.
Which I don't know if they're real people, but maybe.
So, yeah, they should be ashamed of themselves.
Stop it.
So, again, thanks to everyone who contributed to the Twitter question this past week. Todd, you said that you have a question for this week's Twitter question, correct?
Sure. With all the Superman talk that we've been having, what's your favorite Superman story?
I think we've done this one before.
Did we?
I think we did, okay. But we could do it again because maybe people's idea of it is a change and it is timely.
Okay. I'm sorry. Got to get one of them updated lists, I think.
No, we, you know, pulling the curtain back as we are wont to do, both Todd and I try to do our best job to keep a comprehensive list of what topics that we've done before. And after doing 80-some-odd issues here, 82 issues, listen to me, episodes, 82 episodes, we both have the same exact gap of what episodes. We're just like, what did we do as the topic for that episode? Neither one of us can remember. Both of us are too lazy to go back and listen to the shows.
Yeah.
But I'm almost certain.
I have another one.
Because I vividly remember a lot of people's choices for it. But let me look at the list right now.
Okay. You look at the list. I'll talk about how awesome Marvel Premiere 50 was. He was dragged off kicking and screaming. And there was, you know, who was going to take care of his snake, Veronica.
His snake, Veronica.
Which was his real snake, by the way.
I was gonna say I know a Veronica, and I don't want to say if she's a snake or not, but that's for another day.
Do you still want me to bring that issue later?
I do.
Okay, you can even borrow it. I might have like multi, so I might give you one to keep forever.
You know, I tell you, it's not on the list, and that could be in that gap time that we have, the missing time that we have from episodes.
Yeah,
episodes 70 and 71.
The flashpoint episodes of Weekly Long Box.
Right.
When we don't remember.
I'm going to say, since it's not on the list, it did not happen before. And if anyone corrects us, you're wrong.
Okay.
I don't mean you are wrong. I mean the person who's correcting us is wrong.
Oh, I know what you were saying. There's no way this is wrong. I'm wearing an ironclad suit of, you know, of armor of sarcasm. I got no problem deflecting things.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So, again, I do thank everyone for listening to the show. Tweet us with your favorite Superman story, whether it be a single-issue story, whether it be an episode of the cartoon, whether it be one of the Superman movies. Hey, you may want to wait even until the weekend's over because Man of Steel might be your favorite Superman story of all time.
Yep.
So don't everyone rush in all at once with your answer.
And if we did do it before, just cut and paste your old one.
Right, that's correct. We'll be none the wiser.
I won't know.
I'm going to make you compile this list one time.
Me?
Yeah.
All right, I'm on it. I'll do it.
Oh, boy. There won't be a show that week.
Oh, no, there won't. I'll be dead.
All right, so again, for episode 82 of the Weekly Long Box, for Todd, this is Leonard, unless you got anything else you want to close out with, my good man.
No, I'm good.
All right, well, again, I do thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next week.